live from the Crash Proof Retirement Show studios. Get educated by Phil Canella and Joanne Small. Saturdays at 10 a.m. on News Talk 850 WFTL.
The following is a paid program. The content has been provided by Glazer and Associates. WFTL, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Some of the opinions and endorsements provided herein were in exchange for compensation from Glazer and Associates.
Hey, remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? Have you tried to get a mortgage since then and been turned down? Or maybe you haven't even tried because your credit score is stuck at 585 or your tax returns have too many write-offs. Well, Cash Call Mortgage has great news for you. We've just introduced programs for people who've been told no. And what's doubly exciting is that we can solve your mortgage problems with no closing costs, no points, title, escrow, and no fees.
Wait, Cash Call, are you saying you now have credit and income-solving mortgages with no closing costs? Are you kidding?
You heard right. A credit or income-solving loan with no closing costs. Call 877-860-CASH, and we'll work with you to solve your mortgage issues. Make the cash call at 877-860-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, not available in Washington State. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing, terms, and restrictions.
That's 877-860-CASH.
Good morning, I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. That's a law firm specializing in Florida association law. And welcome to our fifth annual live broadcast of Condo Craze and HOAs. We are live at the Mineachi Theater at Nova Southeastern University before a fantastic studio audience. And fans of the show, let's hear it. All right.
Thank you, Karen. Awesome day so far. I want to welcome our studio audience to our show today and thank you and thank them for joining us not only today but week in and week out. Really, everybody, thank you very much. We're flattered.
We are totally flattered. And before we actually get the show started, let's ask you, the fans, if you enjoyed the day so far and if you enjoyed what you learned from Eric in your seminar. Yes, all right.
Thanks. All right, to those of you listening and playing along at home, we had breakfast for everybody at 7 o'clock. We taught our board certification class from 8 to 10:30, and here we are for our annual live radio show. We're going to do that till noon, and then we'll give everybody some lunch. And with all the negative talk this year, and we covered a lot of this during the seminar this morning, with all the negative talk about board members, what can you say, Karen, about board members and even non-board members out there that got up 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, no
less.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Dedication.
And came out to learn something, and that is dedication. And instead of applauding for us, I'm sure me and you and our panel of experts to my left, we want to applaud all of you for being that. So
all right.
That's really, really fantastic.
They're not being paid for this, right?
No, they are not, although the Florida legislature thinks they're taking some money on the side,
oh,
as we'll talk about in a little while. But and we're here with all of our show sponsors who truly make this show and all of our seminars possible week in and week out. So how about we let all of our listeners at home know who some of those sponsors are.
All right. ADT Security, thank you for being here.
And Affinity Management Services.
Allstate Insurance.
Best Roofing.
Carousel Development and Restoration.
City National Bank.
Condominium Concepts Management.
Cyber Citizens for Justice.
All right, yawn. Driveway Maintenance.
Easy Apps.
Gerstle Rosen and Goldenberg CPAs.
Mack and Walsh Insurance Agency.
Optical Tell.
Pipelining Technology.
PD Painting.
Stellar Public Adjustment.
And TPMG Property Management.
All right, thank you to our sponsors. Guys, let me say this. Thanks to them for participating not only today, but really week in and week out, and help bringing the show to everybody week in and week out. Believe me, none of this happens if not for all of them. So thank you from me and Karen. Thank
yes,
you very
absolutely.
Much.
It's so good to see you've all been here. I think some of you for all five of our live
absolutely.
Events. Yes. So normally we spend the hour taking calls from our listeners, but today we want to hear from you in the live audience, and we want to answer your questions and hear your comments and complaints in person, loud and on the air.
Absolutely.
Okay?
So let's set it up, Karen. In order to do that, we assembled a great team of experts on stage, and let's introduce them so that the people, again, playing along at home, know who we have. So from Condominium Concepts Management, Darlis Walker.
And
good
from
afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Darlis, and Affinity Property Management, Rafael Aquino. How are you?
Gerstle,
Rosen, and Goldenberg's CPA, Mark Gerstle.
And from Mack and Walls Insurance Company, Greg Waltz.
Thanks to our panel for being here today. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Nice round of applause.
All right. So, like we like to say each year, our theme song for the show, for those of you that listen week in and week out, is Why Can't We Be Friends? So we're going to run with that theme a little bit today. We're going to set the stage for the people at home. We're sitting in a really beautiful theater, the Miniachi Theater, here at Nova Southeastern University. And in the same room, we have community association managers. We got board members and non-board members, and they seem to be getting along. I've been at places
no
where,
cat fights.
Walkers have gone throwing tennis balls. You know, it's been nuts, but we haven't had any of that today.
We don't have any police here.
No,
so
far so good. They're sitting laughing and joking and eating together, so far so good. So here's how I want to start the show off today, all right? Different theme. No question about it, and we spent some time talking about it this morning. This past legislative session, unit owners, non-board members, absolutely rose up against board members and managers. And there was a nasty, nasty grand jury report that came out of Miami-Dade that basically accused every board member of being on the take and engaging in some sort of corruption, and basically saying that at least in Dade County, condo crime is everywhere, and as a result of that, there was a lot of new laws that were passed this year that put board members and managers on the radar and now potentially guilty of crimes, literally facing felony charges. So let's set that up for the time being.
Yeah, so one new law makes it a crime for board members or managers to prevent access to records if it's done to cover up a crime. And another new law makes it a crime to forge documents in the condo elections.
All right, so question is this, you know, is it fair that all of a sudden directors and managers are on the radar and your conduct is under such intense scrutiny this time around? Why is there a need all of a sudden to focus so much attention on the negative conduct of board members this year? So I want to start, maybe some of you are brave, and I know you've raised your hand earlier. How about some non-board members out there? You're typically the loudest anyway. Why do you think it was time for the legislature this year to kind of rise up and say, it's time to start looking at the behavior of board members? Come on, non-board members, let's hear it. John, to the right.
Hold on, get the microphone for you. There you go.
Well, basically, this has been rampant for years and going on for years. And unfortunately, the governing agency in the state is of no help. And also, I know I'm in a condo and a homeowner's situation, and none of my board members are here today, which doesn't surprise me. And I was told that they really don't want education. And to be quite honest with you, they really don't know what they're doing. And they're letting the manager run the property. And I keep telling them, no. Who writes the check to whom?
Well, that's a great, great statement, John. How about we flip to our managers here on my left? You heard what he said? The managers are running the property over there. And that might be part of the problem. What do our managers think of that?
Well, you know my philosophy on that. You, as board members, are the decision makers, and we as your managing agent are the facilitators of those decisions. So absolutely, the manager should not be running the property.
And your board members should be here today, absolutely. And if they got certified by signing that silly self-serving affidavit, don't vote for them when the election time comes around, absolutely.
They probably didn't even read what they were supposed to read.
Exactly, right. All right, who else? Come on. I know there's some non-board members here in the audience that, at least before the radio show started, were eager to attack their board. Come on.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily want to take it out on my board today because they've been doing a pretty good job for the past 2 years. But about your question, why now? And I think it has to do with the fact that people don't really understand what they got into when they got into a homeowners association or into a condo association. You know, when you see that you want to get on a website and say, I agree to everything, I just want to get in.
Right.
And they do the same thing with joining the association. And then it comes back to bite them. It's, well, I didn't know that. It's a contract.
Yep, right.
It's a contract. And if you didn't do your due diligence, you lose your mind. Now, we got a lot of people on boards who are in over their heads. And they take a lot of abuse, and you gotta wonder, why do they want to keep doing this?
Okay, so what's the answer? Why would somebody want to keep doing this?
Well, the answer comes up when you don't know anything.
Right.
Is, Well, they must be on the take. Mm-hmm. They've got to be getting something for this. Nobody gets something for nothing.
Saying it's not possible for someone wanting to serve on their board without being on the take just because they want
to
do good
for
their community.
Be honest with you, Eric.
Yeah.
I do believe that 7 out of 10 board members that I've seen in the past 25 years that I've been in my association really are trying to do the right thing.
That's a better average than lawyers,
and
I'll tell you that.
I know a lot of people who would agree with you, but I happen to like lawyers. But that's another thing. What I'm trying to get at, and I just lost my train of thought, thank you.
You said 7 out of 10 are doing
the
right thing, so
there's
three.
So they're not on the take. You don't think they are on the take.
They are so out of their depth.
Right.
And they get really taken out by all the people who want to contribute at the meetings and want to have a corporation run by consensus,
yeah,
which isn't going to happen because that's not the DNA of a corporation.
Absolutely. Anybody else have an opinion in that regard? Yes. Anybody back there? All right. Be right ahead.
Yes. I asked for access to the records 9 months ago, and I'm still waiting for most of them. And yes,
well, 9 months, they're getting around to it.
Yes,
they have a baby in 9 months.
I also filed a complaint with DVPR, and I'm still waiting for it. So yes, I think the reform was necessary, and I'm very glad that it is.
Okay, and access to records is one of those topics that was actually on the radar this year. The statute, as originally drafted, said that the director who stops somebody from getting access to records 3 times in a 12-month period, you were facing felony charges now.
But that's only if you're trying to cover up
hold
something.
On. That now they changed it, Karen. Exactly right. Now they changed it. They thought that was going too far, and they said, wait, we're only going to make it a crime if the director or the manager is trying to cover up evidence of a crime. What do you think, Jan, from Cyber Citizens for Justice? You've dealt with some failure to get access to records over the years, right?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for 2 years and still mostly.
Oh, jeez, 2 years.
It had the number one complaint in Florida by far when it comes to condominiums. They won't let me see the stuff.
But you know, the thing is, people move into communities and think the rules and the statutes would be upheld. And then after normally a very short time, they realize that they're not, and everybody does whatever they want because there's no real enforcement. Most of the laws have no teeth, and teeth are missing. And that is, most, in my opinion, the downfall of these associations.
Was it time this year for the legislature to step up and say, okay, we got to put the brakes on all the condo misconduct?
Well, they missed out on it for many, many years, and when you have a committee chair who's a judiciary, one of the most famous law firms here in Florida, and votes no on the billions, then you know what the problem is, mm-hmm, in this state.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let me, anybody else agree with John? John made a couple of comments. John says that crime has been rampant for many years now and it was going unpunished. And he also said when you complain to the DBPR, they don't help. Who has some words of wisdom in that regard? Yes.
Yeah, I was asking for the records since 2009. More than 20 letters to DBPR. Never really mattered.
Right.
And what is the point of having DBPR if they can't interpret laws? If even the 2-3 things that they can interpret, like elections, they don't, it's going to continue the same thing because we don't have somebody to enforce the laws, even though they just passed.
Well, maybe this year that grand jury report, which, for lack of a better word, was absolutely scathing, was definitely a wake-up call to the DBPR. And I can tell you they listen to this show week in and week out up there in Tallahassee. So they're hearing from you today, and they know your frustration, and they certainly know the frustration of the people that testified before that Miami-Dade grand jury. And at least it seems to be, we want them to do more. We complain and they don't do anything, but it's basically a bureaucratic system where, you know, they're hearing our complaints, but they're just not doing anything about it. Follow up. Yes, gentleman right here in the middle.
Well, if they're listening, I hope that they will do something in regard to that, to change the law that people will have, that serving on the board will have to have the knowledge. And if they don't go through, you presented us before with some sort of a stupidity in the language that have a very easy exit to fulfill the requirements. So close these loopholes.
Well, I think, again, I think big changes, at least I'd like to think that they, again, heard everybody's cries, and this year there's going to be big changes. And when evidence of a crime pops up and rears its ugly head, they're not going to sit back like they did on many occasions. It's going to be reported either to the police or the state attorney's office. I think this time they get it. And because if they don't get it, sooner or later there isn't going to be a DBPR at all to complain to. So I think that message came across really clear, at least in the Florida legislative session this year. Yes. Got to talk loud.
Oh, sorry. In reference to maintenance safety under that crime umbrella, if the homeowner is responsible for their walkway, because you mentioned lawsuits,
yes.
Can they still sue a board member?
Well, HOAs are different. So if a homeowner is responsible for their own path, their own walkways, you slip and fall on that, you're suing the HOA. You're not suing the condo association. You're not suing the association. Totally not their fault at all. You have a responsibility for maintaining your own property. Well, and that's when you want to see Greg from Mac and Waltz to make sure you're insured.
That's right.
Because if you're not, yeah, it's going to be somebody else's home.
Well, this is a condo.
Yeah. But got to be very, very careful when it comes to making sure you at least have what's called an HO6 policy then if it's a condominium, so that if something does happen in your home, you are covered. Anybody else have anything to say about the crime aspects? Way in the back.
Yeah, I was curious. How specific does the request have to be? I mean, we have unit owners that say they want all of the records from all of the unit owners. And we have over 1,000 unit owners.
Okay, basically when someone sends out a blanket request saying, I want access to all the records, right? That's the waste of time. They just wasted their time. And basically arbitrators have looked at those cases and said, that's just an intent to almost annoy and harass the board of directors. So they got to be specific. Making a request to see all the directors is the same thing as not making a request at all, basically. Okay? Yes.
This is pretty interesting, I think. I'm aware of you mentioned in passing in the class earlier that they don't treat people equally. Like, for example, our condo has a rule that you cannot rent for 1 month. But I know for a fact that the people across the hall from me got into their unit in the 8th month of the person across ownership. And clearly money passed hands in order for her to accomplish that to be accomplished. Now the head of the association, the president, wants to make it 2 years that we cannot put tenants in with an excuse, all kind of other excuses. But this is going to be quite a money trail for her.
Okay, two things.
She did it in another case in 3 months. Okay.
You're very angry. I don't know why, but you are an angry person.
Indeed. Yeah.
Okay, couple of things. Got to be careful of what you say. What do I mean by that? And I'm going to throw this out to everybody on my left. You know, a lot of the allegation was made, a lot of money passed hands. I can't tell you how many times someone sat down in my office and said, a lot of money passed hands. And I said, great, show me the videotape. Show me the check. Show me the cash deposit. Show me something. Yes, I want to help you if that happened, but you can't show me anything, can you? So I don't like when people come into my office, at least, and make that allegation because, and I'm not saying it never happens. It does happen. And I can tell you, Karen, how many times have you and I reported in the last 2 years alone of how many cases where people got caught taking money. We had one manager who set up the name of a company, her own company, that sounded very much like the association's insurance company. Yeah. So the association thought they were paying their insurance bill. Instead,
they're paying her.
They were paying the manager's personal new business with the same name. Okay, so that was one. So yeah, these things happen, but board members being on the take, no, it's much, much fewer and far between than at least you would think it would be. I don't know. I think there's lawyers that engage in criminal conduct. There's doctors that engage in criminal conduct all the time, Medicare fraud. And I don't necessarily think members of a board are any worse than any other profession. But that's my two cents. Yes, you have an opinion? You look at me like I'm crazy, Jan.
About once a week, you can read the report about a board member being arrested
once a week.
In Florida.
Wow.
And I think that is pretty often. I'm sorry. That's too much.
I agree, but on the same token, with the amount of association, again, just playing devil's advocate, you know, we do have a lot of board members that do a lot of positive things for the association. In all fairness to them, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we need these negative effects for lawmakers to make changes. So that's the positive side of that. But there are a lot of associations that are doing a lot of great things. So I think we got to play that balance where, you know, we can't be so negative on the industry as well, because there's a lot of good things that have come from it.
But that's not the argument. I think once a week a report about one arrested is too much, even for
absolutely.
Well,
and something needs to be done, and I think what's missing is the teeth, and not a judge saying, oh, don't do that again, and, oh, you embezzled $600,000, oh, that's fine, you know, repay it with $5 a month, you know. That's not helping the cause, and that encourages others to do the same. In my
All right. I agree with you there 100%, John.
Let's hear this, though. Okay, now, about three-quarters of the audience today was primarily composed of board members. We heard from the unit owners. Guys that are on a board, it's time to stick up for yourselves. Is the legislature unfairly targeting you this year? How do you feel about it? Yes, sir, in the back.
My question is about records. Granting access to records, is it the same thing as providing the records itself?
Providing or granting access? Okay, good question. Yeah. The statute does not say that the board has to provide access to records. It provide the actual physical records to you. They actually have to only provide access to records. So a lot of management companies and boards deal with requests, send me the following records. You don't have to send anybody anything. You just have to provide them access to it, if that answers your question.
What about putting it on a website?
The access to the originals. You're allowed access to the originals. Now, Karen raised a good point. Hold on 1 second. Karen raised a really good point. Brand new statute this year, putting all the association's records on an association's website. How many of you think that's a good idea? Round of applause.
Great idea.
Finally, yes. Yeah. So I think that was a really, really bright idea, and I want to thank Senator Garcia for helping in that regard, and Representative Diaz, who actually met with me in Tallahassee and agreed to lower it from 500 units to 150 units. Great idea, and I can tell you from everybody in this room, we thank you for it. I think I hear the music playing in the background.
We are live from the Mariachi Theater at Nova Southeastern University. This is Condo Craze and HOAs, and we have a live audience here full of questions, and we have a panel, and Eric and I are going to be back in just a moment. Not taking any calls today because we have the questions from the audience.
And we'll be back right after this.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Is
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
All right, so before we went to the break, board members were really under attack, and I'm trying to turn it around. I'm trying to help you guys out, and I want to look at the flip side. You know, so many of you serve on your association with honor, with pride, and without taking $1 in compensation, and instead of getting a thank you, you get threatened with criminal prosecution this year. So I want you guys to stick up for themselves. I got to tell you, when it comes to who's louder, the people who are claiming that board members commit crimes or board members stick up for themselves, or board members accusing of crimes or board members who stick up for themselves, I can tell you unequivocally, the louder group are the people who make the accusations. There's no two ways about it. So board members, stick up for yourselves. I want you to be the loud people today. This is your chance to defend yourself live on the radio, okay? So why do you do what you do, and do you think it's fair that the legislature attacked you this year? Way in the back.
What happened to our other girl?
Yeah, we need two mics out there. Yeah. Quickly, please.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
oh, she's right here. Oh, here's some right here. Hand him the mic. There you go.
Good afternoon. My question is, as a previous board member, you know, I was accused of doing a lot of wrong things, but my straight question is, what are the consequences and penalties for the condo board for conducting unannounced meeting and decide to spend association money without the unit owner's knowledge?
Death. Electric chair.
They were meeting in the pool.
So the board spends money without having proper votes and meetings approving the spending?
Yes.
if the money was not used to go into the board members' pockets, quite frankly, then what can you do? Not much. I can tell you if the DBPR looks at it, they will say, okay, did the board members profit personally from spending the money?
No.
It went to the association from an association property back to the members who live there. Then the DBPR is going to say, start holding meetings properly going forward, right? But they're not going to penalize them. But if you do it again and again, yes, the association can get hit with massive fines and penalties. Absolutely. But the only time that the board members themselves are going to get hit with liability is if they took the money, basically.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
It. All right, way in the back.
I have no problem with anyone who commits a criminal act from being prosecuted, whether you're a board member, a pedophile, or any other type of criminal.
Sure.
I have a beef with homeowners who complain about the board, but don't volunteer to go on the board, don't come to the meetings.
Sure, but then when it's time to accuse you of something, they're the loudest
there
ones,
they are.
Right?
Yeah.
How many board members agree with that statement, at least? Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so that's one board member here at least sticking up for herself. Anybody else feel that they should stick up for themselves too? Absolutely.
Actually, the young lady
to your right.
No, her. I have a question for you. During the lecture, you were talking about, you know, how a board member can be removed. What happens when a board member is removed and no one else volunteers to go on the board?
What, but
can that board member
such a
go
great
back
jump?
On
Everybody
the
wants to be on the board.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. All
okay,
five of us.
So what happens when you can't get enough people to actually serve on your board? You know, there's at least in a condominium, unit owners can petition the court to appoint a receiver to manage the affairs of your community.
That sucks.
I've been appointed by the court as a receiver to run communities, and you want to know what happens? Only one person makes money when that happens. And you know who that is? The receiver. The worst thing that you want to happen in your community is if a receiver is appointed, because it can become unaffordable to live there very quickly. Whereas you have a volunteer board member, right? Typically, if a receiver comes in, the receiver isn't a volunteer. The receiver's getting paid by the hour to manage your association, and they step in and they become the board. So that's exactly what you don't want. Absolutely.
Eric,
yes.
I'd like to give the board members some advice on how to deal with the unruly homeowners. When they start their complaining and bitching, can I say that?
Yeah.
What you want to do is say, oh, great, let me put you on a committee to handle
Absolutely.
Whatever the issue is they're complaining about, and typically they will stop.
Absolutely. You want to shut somebody up, give them a job to do. Absolutely. All right, there was a question up here. Yes.
If you know that there is illegal things going on in another phase, like we have four phases, how do you follow the trail? Where do you start? Even if he's the attorney for all four phases?
Yeah, well, then that attorney might have a conflict and say, okay, I can't give you an opinion, but I suggest you go out and at least get another one from another attorney.
Thank
Oftentimes,
you.
Yeah, the buck stops with the association's attorney. No two ways about it, okay? Any other board member thinks it's about time to stick up for themselves? Yes. Up front.
Yes. I have to echo the remarks of the young lady over there. A lot of times we have to put the onus not on the board member, but the apathy of the owners.
Sure.
Nobody wants to step up to the plate. Nobody wants to spend hours devoting themselves to the community.
There's a guy behind you that's about to have a stroke if we don't let him talk. He vehemently disagrees with you.
Well, he can do both, and I'm going to give the mic to him. I'm very proud to be a board member and serve my community. I ran. I was elected. I had to send out a resume of my qualifications. So we're very happy to have the board members that serve with us.
Thank you. That's sticking up for himself. Okay, John, let him have it.
Look, I've been a board of director, okay, and I did it the right way, and it was literally a full-time job. So I thank you for the hours that you put in. Here's my beef, is that they, in my situation, they don't want to be educated, and they have told me that. Okay, so what I did, because they were so inept, is this is my third time I'm getting certified. And then, because nobody else wanted to be on the violations committee or the architecture review committee, because they didn't want to get their hands dirty. I took that on. I spent at least 2 months researching the entire community to see what the problems were specific to that community. I then took about five different sets of rules and regulations, which conflicted with each other, and with our association attorney, completely rewrote them into one comprehensive set
right.
that the attorney said they're all legally binding. It took them 1 year to approve it. We have probably 10 different fences in our community because they set no architectural standards. I'm trying to correct that now.
We got it. So here's a non-board member who obviously wanted to get involved and do the right thing, but not everybody is you. So the question is this. How about we go to a system where you force people, simply by virtue of the fact that they buy a unit in a condominium, we force them to have to serve some time on a condominium board. Now, the flip side to that is they're going to wind up with a lot of idiots on that board.
Well, wait a minute, Eric. I took the time to come here and to get educated, and I researched statutes before I ever got involved with at the condominium. Okay, and I'm the most active member in our community. I was walking the community at 4 o'clock this morning because of somebody broke our gate. And I'm the only one that comes to that meeting with the bylaws.
Yeah.
The board, a lot of times you have to refer to your bylaws in the meeting.
Yes.
They don't even have them there. I had to point out to them, no, you can't raise the maintenance more than 5%.
Okay, so John, I'm gonna lead you down a road along that line of thinking. So a lot of times I'll have people in the audience ask me, and I know they're on the board for like 20, 25 years, and I think that's the ones primarily you have your focus on. And they tell me, well, I'm on the board for 20 or 25 years now. I don't have to go through this certification stuff, right? I'm grandfathered in. And I'll throw it to the guys on my left here, the expert panel. You know what? Those are the first people I want at the seminar, the ones that are on the board the longest, because sometimes they get locked into the mentality of, well, I've been doing it forever, so I must be right about everything I do. And oftentimes they're not.
I'm the only one in the entire community that's certified.
I think the legislatures fell just a little short this time. I think that they should make it mandatory that every board member attend an annual board certification class.
Absolutely. I like that.
No two ways about it, and I certainly hope the legislature is listening. As a matter of fact, let's give some recognition to the legislators who actually helped us this year. You know, we're always just like quick to attack board members. We're also always quick to attack politicians for not doing the right thing or being lazy. But we're going to turn that around this year, and we're going to give a hand to four legislators who worked very hard this year, and they personally gave me a lot of time and attention this year. So I want to thank in the Senate, Senator Rene Garcia and Senator Kathleen Passidomo. And in Florida House of Representatives, I also want to thank Representatives George Moraitis from this neck of the woods and Jose Diaz. So guys who are listening, thank you very much. Really, they all helped all of you this year a tremendous amount. All right, we're going to play a little game. You want to run our game, Karen?
I would love to, and we do this every time we have our live show, and it is so much fun because we get to find out who has been on the board, a board, the longest. So let's hear now. We're going to give out the award for our longest-serving board member. And so let's see who's been on the board for, what, 1 to 5 years?
Yeah, okay, 1 to 5.
Raise your hands. Okay. 5 to 10. Okay.
Hands are still up.
10 to 15. Okay.
10 to 15. At the last hand standing, you are, sir?
Come on up. How long have you get a microphone?
You got competition?
Oh, wait, is there a...
Wait,
okay.
There's a gentleman in the
15
back.
15 to 20? Oh, 20 to 25?
Why don't you guys just arm wrestle for it? How many years? 16. How many years?
19. You're the winner. All right. 19 years on the board.
You got to be able to come up and get the award, though.
Come on up.
To win a car.
19 years on the board.
Nice job.
Why would anyone want to serve on a damn board of directors for 19 years? You got to be crazy.
Hey, but a lot changes, right? Laws change.
Here's a guy that is on a board for 19 years, does not think he's a know-it-all, and came to learn something this morning.
Nice. All right.
All right. So let's find out who our winner is today.
I think this gentleman deserves a standing ovation.
Absolutely. What's your name, sir?
John Zangel.
John, what association do you...
12 in Tamarack.
Greenhaven 12 in Tamarack. We have a lot of associations here in Tamarack. So, all right, John. So we got a camera somewhere in the front. All right, we're going to take some pictures here. John, I'm going to give you this award. It's the Condo Craze Dedication to Community Award for years of devoted service, and in your case, it's 19, right?
Woo!
Thank you. That's
nice
for you, John.
Job,
way to go. Smile for the camera. Let me tell that. Come
yes.
on.
Yes. He said the money's good.
All right, John, way to go. All right, so in the few minutes that we got left, let's keep it going. The question became this year, and Jan, you can certainly help me with this. There was a thought process that, wait a minute, if we're going to make it potentially a crime for certain actions that board members take, then it's going to scare people from running for the board, right? So all of you sat here this morning and you heard the fact that the statute was amended to now say if you prevent people from getting access to records, it can be a felony. If you tamper with the election process, it could be a felony. Is that going to keep anybody in this room from running for their board of directors? I got mostly no's, but some people did say yes. For those that said, well, let me get a no, why should that not scare you from running for the board?
People that are scared. People that are scared, Bert, should not be on the board to begin with.
Absolutely. You
all
know
right.
what?
If you're doing the right thing, you're okay.
Guess what? It's a crime to steal from my trust account. Should that mean I shouldn't be an attorney anymore? Of course not. If you're not committing crimes, then what are you worried about? Yes, in the middle.
So I have a question about management companies.
Lay it on.
You know, it's been said that board members, we're not professionals. We're volunteering our time, trying to learn, do the best we can. Now you hire a management company who's less professional and less knowledgeable than
you. Well, not the ones to my left.
Fire them. Understand.
Fire them.
I hope that we can change someday. But in the meantime, how are they regulated? What are they supposed to know? How are they supposed to help boards make accurate, and how are they liable for not giving correct
information? I'll answer the legal part, and then I'll let them answer the practical part about how they do their job each day, because and I'll lead them into this. I think what they do is absolutely the hardest job of them all. Okay, so legally, there's a lot of laws and regulations that they have to follow. I can tell you, managers can lose their license. Not only did the legislature go after directors this year, make no mistake, they went after managers this year too. Manager gets caught taking a kickback, they're gone. They're prosecuted criminally. Manager prevents you from getting access to records to cover up a crime, they're getting prosecuted criminally. A manager engages in election fraud, they're getting arrested and prosecuted criminally. Now, a manager, to me, may have the most difficult job at all. Why? There has to be the face of the community, right? They have to be the go-between between the board and the unit owners. And I'll say, and I know they've been there, you're talking to two experienced managers here, sometimes, every once in a while, you'll have a board who puts you in a really difficult spot. I'll start it out. I've been there. I've been asked over the course of my career, how do we keep certain people out? How about that? I've been asked that before. Had to tell people to actually turn around and get out of my office. It happens. So what do you do when you're faced with a board who says, hey, I want you to turn your blind eye to what we're about to do?
I can tell you I'm experiencing this situation right now where we have a client of 7 years, new board, and the board president continually holds illegal meetings and is doing things that violate much of the statute, and we have given the association notice. We hate it. We love the homeowners there, but we simply won't risk our license, and we will not do anything that violates the statute or the declaration. It's very hard, but your management company should be giving you the information and the guidance. We're not legal counsel, so we have to know when to refer you to the attorneys, but it's our job to support you. And if your management company isn't doing that, you need to find a new one.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, I had a question with regards to the selection process. All the questions that you're asking are the same questions that I would essentially ask the management company that you're looking to interview. Remember, they're not set in stone there. They're not, you're their boss. You have to keep that in mind. You're the one that makes the decision, you and your team, your board members. One of the questions that you need to ask is not just what do they do, but also what do they do for themselves to educate their clients? Do they do newsletters that provide it to the board members to educate them on the new changes in the law? Are they referring you to their attorney? Are they providing you additional information of what's going on in our world? So are they taking that extra step to educate you on what's going on? Because that's one of the main roles that we have as well as a management company.
You had a question in the middle. Yes.
I'm a board member, and I'm very glad with all the new laws that are being put into place because it clarifies what people are allowed and not allowed to do. So I'm very excited about all that. Now, I have some questions with regards to previous board members. When we see, as new board members, things that have been done in the past, and let's say it's a whole brand new board in our case, when we see things that the old member has done and laws that they have may have broken, is there any action that we can take towards the old board members, or would that be seen as us taking actions against ourselves because we're not representing the association?
Well, if a prior board member actually did engage in criminal activity and actually stole money and you know they did it, then yes, you have an obligation as a current board member to go do something about that. If not, you breached your fiduciary duty that you owe to the current unit owners.
What if it's negligent? And what if it's also, let's say, management companies?
Now, what you want to do is if your prior board, you know your prior board wasn't doing things right, wasn't engaging with the law that they should, they were holding meetings outside of the Sunshine or in violation of Florida statutes, they were going after people selectively, you just want to make sure that that nonsense comes to a halt. But you have no obligation, or there's nothing you can do, actually, to go sue them for those actions in the past. Okay? Yes?
It looks like we're addressing a lot of symptoms, which is not bad. But I think the core is that we have no qualifications for the board members.
Should there be minimum qualifications?
Yes.
That's very, very interesting. Okay. So we have situations. Let me get this one thought out. Some of you sitting here are from tremendously large condominiums. Your budgets, and Mark, I'm going to throw this to you as a CPA, their budgets exceed, some of them, seven figures. Some of them even have eight-figure budgets. And you have people getting on the board, oftentimes, certainly with no accounting experience, no legal experience, no business experience whatsoever. But you can't mandate laws that require people to have such a background, can you?
Although, if you put it in Washington, I think. But no, the answer is really... You as a board member are to be a volunteer. You're supposed to act in the fiduciary interest of the other owners and in good faith. And if you follow that, you have enough professional management, attorneys, accountants, insurance, you have professionals in every avenue to turn to. And the ones we've met with are always willing to help board members. So you're not expected to be an expert. I think if you start putting on minimum qualifications, this room is going to get even smaller and smaller. And that, I really think, is the biggest problem, is that there's apathy, and most of the complainers don't go to the meetings, and then there's one person who starts a rumor, and it just grows. So I think it's better to have open arms, and then we'll rely on us, and we will educate you.
Sure.
Things can go wrong.
I would have to strongly disagree with that.
All right, let me say one word about apathy, though, because apathy keeps coming up, and you may be surprised about what I'm going to say. There's something good about apathy. So you want to know the good thing? Typically, if people are not showing up to board meetings in your community, you know what that means? They're generally happy. That's right. Someone screamed it out. Generally, I'm telling you, do this. Put a special assessment on the agenda. They'll show up. That'll pack the house, won't it? Right?
Another reason for not showing up is complete
not
frustration.
Not only will they show up, they will volunteer to be on the board.
Right. Jan, you had something to say.
Yeah, qualifications for board members. We have established there are a lot of good board members who do an excellent job. But here's the problem about qualifications. Former state representative Julio Robina always said, if we could pass a law against stupidity, we would have less than 50% of the problems we have in condos nowadays. And I think he's absolutely correct.
So one question in the middle, right?
We should work toward that, because unless that is done, we could dance around all the symptoms and nothing is going to get solved. I think that's where the focus should be.
Yeah. Question in the middle.
I would like to address qualifications to be on the board. I understand that we need realtors, we need attorneys, we need architects, we need people who are very involved in the process of buildings and maintaining buildings. I myself am on my board. I'm also the president of my board, and I'm a registered nurse. How does that qualify me? Because I've been trained in critical thinking.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be a profession in the building community or the law community or the accounting community. You have to know how to think and how to determine what is correct and not correct.
Absolutely. Second show. This is like we're closing in on our 400th show, believe it or not. But on our second show, never forget, a gentleman calls in and says, you know, can you believe here we were in the middle of a project where we have to put on a new roof and new gutters and we have to paint the place and some woman wants to be on the board? How could that possibly be? What do the women out there think? You qualified to handle questions? Wow, I got to run to the car when I get out of here now. It's not me. It's what one of the callers actually said. Yes, but we have somebody here.
Okay, just look at the amount of board members that are here and how many condominiums we have. Do you really think that there is a lot of board members that are interested on the new law or interested in what's going on?
Well, there's a lot of apathy out there with board members. Correct. No two ways about it. That's why the certification process should be mandatory. Correct.
Hi, Eric and Karen.
Hi.
I'd like to depart from that and go back to your QR code topic.
Yes.
We're experiencing issues of QR codes on our February election ballots, and our management company manages 1,600 associations in South Florida. They're the ones that are responsible for the QR codes, and there's an issue with that violating the privacy of your vote.
Yep.
And
yeah,
I'd like to raise that awareness for every manager here.
Yes.
To go back, your ballots are stored for 1 year. Go back and examine in the top left-hand corner. If you have one of those tiny little black and white codes on your ballots, they're not allowed.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I got to tell you, the election process is supposed to be secretive, and clearly it doesn't look like it is, at least in your condo. But I just want to get to one topic real quick. Call me crazy, but it seems like we didn't say much today about HOAs, and there's a bunch of people who are here from HOAs as well. And it just seems like they were simply ignored again. You know, what else is new? And it's just impossible. It's getting to the point where it's impossible to figure out why. And, Jan, I guess the answer is simple. There just probably isn't any crime in our HOAs, only in condos. As the audience breaks out into laughter.
There's actually a lot more than in condos, believe me.
Oh, and really? In
it's
HOAs?
Only not here in South Florida. It's in Central Florida. Don't forget, you have more than 2.5 million homes in HOAs here in Florida. And the problem is always HOAs are bigger money makers. So when you try to pass laws pertaining to HOAs, you have a lot more controversy in Tallahassee and a lot of more money pushed against the legislators not to pass any good
owner. Yeah, there's no two ways about it. I agree. I would think most of the legislators live in HOAs rather than condominiums, and that's why there's just always some pushback when you try to make new laws regarding anything for HOAs.
Right.
I think there's more apathy from HOAs, from the unit owners, as opposed to condominiums.
No? Question on the side. Yes, no. Real quick.
Definitely not.
Wow. I am blessed. I have both condo and HOA. My condo has not held a board meeting for 10 years. The HOA is begging me to go to the meetings only to exclude me, humiliate me, and I refuse to do that. I prefer to sit down and write letters to have the paper trail and the written justification so then I can file a complaint with DPPR for the CAM license. It is ridiculous to go to an HOA meeting, be given 1 or 2 minutes to speak, and then be locked off. So there's reasons why people, owners, do not go to those meetings.
And
it
a DBPR isn't even going to help you if you're from an HOA. But Jan, I think
no, with the CAM, with a CAM license,
with the CAM license, yes. But I think I could speak for both of us that I think I see us in Tallahassee next year getting a lot accomplished for HOAs, simply based on the fact that it was done for condos this year. Next year, it simply makes sense to do it for HOAs. What's your thought?
Well, we should try, and we hope we succeed. But the problem is still that there's too much money thrown at legislators who are against, the money is against the homeowners. That's the problem. And that's what we're fighting. But
one minute. Okay, we got to
try.
Got about a minute or two left. So before we wrap up today, everybody, I first want to thank Karen Curtis for doing this radio show with me now for 8 years. It's an honor and a privilege to work and learn from such a professional. And I got to tell you, I love her show, The Drive at 5, every day on 850. And I also want to thank 850 WFTL for supporting the show for so many years and for helping to make today possible. And lastly, I want to thank our listeners of the show, because when I started, I never thought it would become as popular as it is. And it's great because when Brian and I travel all over the state and every seminar we go to, everybody tells us that they love the show. And I know it's not even broadcast where they are. So everybody's making a conscious, diligent effort to actually listen to the show on the internet. And for that, I am forever thankful and grateful. And the bottom line is, as long as you guys keep calling in, Karen and I will be there to pick up the phone and answer your calls. It is an honor to be with each and every one of you, week in and week out, and I really appreciate it. I'm sure I speak for both of us.
You do. Thank you so much,
guys,
for coming
thanks
today.
Thanks for coming today. Thanks for tuning into Condo Craze and HOAs, and we'll see you next Sunday at 11 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Efficient way to communicate with the members in your condo and HOA? Then you need Easy Apps to design an app for an iPhone or Android device that everyone in your community can share. Instantly increase awareness of community events in real time. Save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents. Collect monthly dues from members of the community by having them pay right from their phone. Communicate with your management company, post notices, and other important documents and more. There's no extra hardware or software to buy. Easy Apps takes care of everything and does all the work. If your association doesn't have an Easy App in your community, no doubt you're working too hard. Board members, take advantage of this amazing technology that lets you enjoy your community more without all the stress. Your owners will love it too. For a free app demo for your condo or HOA, call Easy Apps at 954-829-2273. 954-829-2273. Or visit the sponsors page on the Condo Craze website and click on the Cube ad for Easy Apps.